Matthew chapter 17, we're going to preach on a certain man. We're going to keep going in this, but now you're out of the Old Testament, you're getting into the New Testament. We're going to preach on a certain man here. Matthew 17, verse 14, when you find your place, if you will, please stand with me to honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. Matthew 17, verse 14, we're going to read down to verse 21. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. I wonder how many moms and dads would say that about their boys. Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. And sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, now he's putting a little qualifier on it, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Patrick, would you ask God to help us tonight in the message? Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. Be seated if you will. I want to preach about faith, fasting, and prayer. Now, number two is going to be the one nobody wants to hear about, so we won't spend too much time because I don't like to hear about it either. All right, so we're going to just, you know, all right, you ought to fast. No, I'm kidding. All right, but I want to show you, first of all, I want to notice the demonstration of the power of God. You notice earlier in the chapter, actually from the first part of the chapter, verse 1 down to verse 13, you're reading about the transfiguration of Jesus Christ on top of the mountain. He takes Peter, James, and John, and he goes up onto the top of the mountain, and he goes up there, and the Bible says he's transfigured before them. A couple of things happen now during this time, and some things I just want to kind of bring to your attention because I hope they'll help you. Because I want you to put yourself in the shoes of yourself in the shoes of Jesus Christ for just a moment. I mean, I know none of us can ever fill those shoes by any means, but I want you to consider for just a little bit, this man has been born into a world of sin who never knew no sin. He come from a kingdom of glory that was in absolute perfection. He had absolutely no sin in him and absolutely no sin on him, although he was fixing to step into a place where nothing but sin was going to be poured on him, and he was going to bear the sin of all the world. And so for just a moment now, you got to think, he's going through all the things that we go through on this earth. He's going through hunger, he's going through thirst, he's going through pain, he goes through sickness, he goes through all of these things. But I want you to notice that just for a moment, on top of this mountain of transfiguration, maybe just for a moment, the Lord Jesus Christ gets a little bit of reprieve from this worldly condition, because he steps up to the top of that mountain and the glory of God comes down there, and the Bible says he shone like the sun, and it was so much power on that place that it caused Peter, James, and John to have to hit their knees in the presence of God because of the power that was emanating off the Lord Jesus Christ, for him to finally be able to get a taste of heaven once again. I mean, could you imagine to go from, I mean, think about what you and I have right now. I've never been to heaven. I've never seen heaven. I mean, I think I felt a couple of acres come down into my soul from time to time, amen. But I tell you, I've never seen that city of gold. I've never seen those walls of jasper. I've never seen those beautiful gates of pearl. Never once have I laid eyes on the throne of God. But brother and sister, I felt the presence of heaven down into the deepest part of my heart. I felt the joy of salvation overflood my very being. But I can't understand how that Jesus Christ himself, who came from that sort of a place, can turn around and come here and do what he did, reduce himself to this, and not go completely insane.
Amen.
To go from what he had in sinless perfection, honor, glory, night and day, people worshiping around the throne, holy, 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 and to leave that and have people spitting on him, trying to stone him, wanting to kill him, trying to deceive him, trying to misuse him, trying to abuse him, and he goes through all of that and still loves the people that he came here to try to win. Boy, what power with God this man must have had to have been able to have had all of that he had and be born in the... I mean, here he was existing in the halls of glory and then be born into a barnyard, into the dirtiest of places. And here he is, the King of glory, wrapped up in grave clothes, laying in a feeding trough. Wow. I mean, look, you and I have got so much joy to look forward to. Heaven. Heaven, boy, that we've got to look forward to. Boy, ain't you looking forward to going to heaven one day? But I want to tell you something this, I want to tell you something tonight. To think about that in reverse. To go from being in the most beautiful and perfect place that you could have ever imagined to then having to come here and give all of that up. And then during that 33 and a half years he was here, he gets one chance to step on a mountaintop and experience the power of heaven and have that glorified state swell up in him once again.
Amen.
I tell you, I can't imagine how that was just to have Jesus Christ standing there and him get just a little taste of home. And here Peter and James and John, who've never had that experience a day in their life, and they're so humbled and so much power falls, they can't even stay on their feet. They have to kneel. The disciples got a sample of God's power, but it was too much for them to handle. They couldn't even stay on their feet. You know what I found, brother and sister? I have found that oftentimes when the Holy Spirit of God moves, people have a hard time sitting still. Because people have to either do one of two things, get up or get down. But very rare can somebody stay where they are. If they do, I've often known it to quench the Holy Spirit of God. I've known it to quench the Holy Spirit of God. I was talking to a preacher about a month ago who we were in a service together. He came to me and he said, "Brother, do you remember this particular time in this service, this moment in the service?" I said, "I remember." He said, "Boy, did you feel that when it just kind of just... did what it did?" And I mean, there's no other way to describe it except you'd had to have been there. And I said, "Yeah, I remember. I know exactly what you're talking about." He said, "I quenched the spirit." I said, "You quenched the spirit? How'd you do that?" He said, "It was bubbling up in me." He said, "I felt like a teapot sitting on the eye and I was about to explode." He said, "And I knew that I needed to shout. I knew I needed to holler." He said, "But I stayed quiet." He said, "Preacher, I quenched the spirit." I said, "Well, thank God for 1 John 1:9. Thank God that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive." Say, "You've sinned by quenching the Spirit of God?" It's what Paul said. It's what Paul said. You don't obey the Spirit of the Lord, you're committing a sin by quenching the Holy Ghost of God. You might cause that thing like a freight train to halt right in your depot, and if you ain't willing to get on board, it may not pass by anymore. Amen. I want to show you a few things, though, about this man. See, we're leading up to this, and what we're still focusing on is the power of God in these people. See, Jesus Christ had just come off the mountaintop, and Peter, James, and John just come off the mountaintop, and here are all these disciples gathered around, and this one man shows up. He's a certain man who shows up. I want you to notice a couple things about this man. Number one, this man was a concerned father. I mean, this man was actually concerned about what was going on in the life of his child. He didn't just let the child go and do what he wanted to. In fact, it grieved this man heart that this boy was troubled by this evil spirit that was upon him. And he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, I'm not saying this derogatorily, but I just want you to know this boy's a lunatic." He said, "He's a lunatic." Now that word lunatic, what that means, the old English meaning is he's moonstruck. Because luna is the Latin word for moon. In fact, Spanish is la luna. It means the moon. And if somebody's a lunatic, that means they're moonstruck. And I don't know, you've seen all these movies that have to do with that full moon. Boy, it makes things do crazy. It makes people do crazy things. How much time? This area here is full of people who do everything by the moon, phases of the moon. We plant our taters by the phases of the moon. Amen. And if the sign ain't in the loins, you better keep them out the ground or else you ain't going to have none. Amen. Amen. You got to watch that. See, people, I'm going to tell you something. People will do more faith putting into the farmer's almanac than they will into the Word of God. Amen. So what are we talking about? Need some power of God. What do we need? We need some people getting a little bit concerned about the lunacy that's going on in this world today. We need people to be willing to go to God and say, "Lord, have mercy on a bunch of people that's turned their back on you, that's lunatic, they're vexed with devils. A lot of them are on them because of their own doing. But Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on my son." You know, there was another passage where a woman came to the Lord to beseech Him on behalf of her daughter who was grievously vexed with the devil. And this woman said, "Lord, have mercy on me." She said, "Because my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But this man here, I see the concern of a parent of their child's, the problem that their child's facing, because he says, "Lord, I can endure it. I can deal with it because I love my son. But God, have mercy on my son. He needs help because he's a lunatic." I want you to see that he says, now there's no need for a humbling here, okay? Now there's a lot of times when there needs to be a humbling, but in this situation, there was no need for a humbling because this man already had a humble heart. Because it says the first thing he did in verse 14 when he came, he says, "There came a certain man kneeling down." He understood his place. He knew where he was supposed to be. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. He knew the proper way to approach the Son of God. I think oftentimes we are mixed up between the publican and the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. And we get up there, we think, "I'm a child of God, born again, blood bought, name written in the Lamb's book of life." And so I say, "Lord, I'm sure glad I ain't like all these other people. I'm certainly glad that I'm not like all these other people. I fast this many times," which we're fixing to get to in just a few minutes, "but I fast this many times in the week. I do this. I give tithes and alms of all that I have. And I'm not like this rascal over here who can't even pick his head up and look toward heaven." He said, the publican over here, don't you know that publican probably heard everything that guy over there was saying? Yeah. He probably heard him. And he gets over there, he doesn't even pay that guy any attention. Why? Because that publican was already broken. See, people want to be blessed, Brother Kendall. They're not willing to be broken. Amen, they're wanting to wear the crown, but they don't carry the cross. Right. They want the resurrection, praise the Lord, but they don't want to go through the death. They want to go to the upper room and fellowship, but they don't want Gethsemane. But God don't do it that way. God can't do it that way. If you're going to be a partaker, you've got to be a partaker not only of His resurrection, but of His death and of His sufferings. Yeah. And if you're going to be a partaker of all of these, what He went through, you're going to have to go through. You're going to have to be satisfied with what He gave you in the upper room and then go to Gethsemane. And when you're presented with the only solution to your problem, you've got to be willing to say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord." Amen. And then when you cross that bridge, brother, then you can head up top to Calvary. Yeah. And you can place that old man on the cross. And you can crucify him. And you can say, "Lord, have mercy on me." Amen. But this man, he was already burdened. He was already broken. We talked this morning for a few minutes about over there in Isaiah where it talks about the bread corn that's bruised and it's put under the wheel and it's crushed. Three types of wheat are harvested. And he said each of them are harvested in a different way. He said there's a fitch. There's a piece of wheat. It's called the fitch. And they would harvest this. And they would take something about the size of what some of our youngins need from time to time. A hickory. It's flimsy. She's going to learn that one day. And it's going to hurt daddy's feelings to do it. But it's going to happen. If y'all see it, you're going to have to get over it. Because she's going to squall. She's going to dance. Daddy's going to teach her the two-step. Amen. But they take an old flimsy, like old hickory switch, and they take that piece of wheat and they'd sit there and they'd just swack, they'd hit it. And it'd separate the seed from the hull. That's how they harvested it. And then there was the other called the cumin. And the cumin was a little bit tougher, a little bit thicker. And they harvested it almost the same way, except the way they had to do it is they had to take something about like the size of a broom handle. And they do the same thing. Hit the outside of it. Break that seed loose from the hull. But then he tells you that there was another one called the corn. The fitch and the cumin could be harvested. One with a little flimsy switch and one with a broom handle. But the Bible says bread corn is bruised because it has to go under the wheel. Y'all seen the old way set up, right? The big old stone bowl in the middle and the big round rock. And usually they had a mule tied out on the end of a big old long post. And the mule would just walk in a circle. And that rock would just turn. And it would grind. And they would take that shell corn and throw it in under that stone. And it would just turn and it would mash and bruise that old bread corn until it ground it into meal. And they made bread. And brother and sister, the more something is beaten down, the more something is crushed, the more valuable it becomes. The more it can be used. I know that a lot of times, whenever you see Christians, some Christians who just live like the devil and they'd go out and dance with the devil all night long and do whatever they want, live however they want, and then it almost seems like God just take a little switch and just pop them on the hind end and say, get right. And some people are a little bit more stubborn and he takes out the broom handle and he'll whop them on the head and he says, hey, pay attention. But then you got old brother Corn and sister Corn and the Lord says, I got to do something more to you. Say, am I worse? He says, no. I just see something in you that I can make better. And he puts you under the mighty wheel of his mercy and the mighty wheel of his grace, and it begins to grind. And boy, he hears the cry. And whenever he hears the cry, they say, Lord, I want to get up. And he says, stay there. I'll go through it with you. I'll go through it with you. And if you'll be willing to stay down, if you'll be willing to stay broken, I'll make something out of you that'll be useful and priceless in the hands of the mighty hand of God. He said, I'll do something with you that nobody else could do. I'll bring glory to my name by your suffering if you'll just stay on the wheel. Amen. If you'll just stay under there. This man was broken already. He come. His heart was broken. His will was broken. His spirit was broken. And he had no other where to look. He even went to the disciples. He said, I went to the disciples. He was not only a man that was broken, he was out of options. Because he said, I even went to the disciples, and they couldn't even heal him. Of course, you know what happens. We'll get to it in just a second. The Lord gets a little bit on the frustrated side because he's been so long teaching these people, trying to show them what their faith could do to move mountains. I mean, to think of a grain of mustard seed the size of what it is, and if you hold it in the palm of your hand, you must watch him take care of how you breathe. You could blow it off your hand in an instant, and you'd lose it and never find it again. And to think, if I had something the size of that is faith, I could move a mountain. And to think about how small my faith must actually be in order for me to not be able to do what he promised I could do. Say, oh, that don't, you know, I'm sure I got faith that's bigger than the mustard seed. Well, I ain't heard no mountains moving here lately. I ain't heard of no mountains moving. Well, I ain't commanded one lately. You know. Sounds like that Pharisee over there praying. He's almost out of hope. I brought them, verse 16, to thy disciples. They could not cure him. Out of hope. Out of options. Nowhere else to go. Lord, have mercy on my son. Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. But then you see the questioning in verse 17. He says in verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? You see the questioning. He says, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? If he were to ask me that today, I would ask him, I'd have to plead, I hope you would. He'd come to you today and he'd say, Brother Bill, he said, how long shall I be with you? I hope we have enough confidence to say, Lord, you said you'd be with us always. Amen. He look at you and he say, Brother Sorrell, he said, how long shall I suffer you? And boy, the pleading of your spirit cry out, knowing that you keep messing up and you keep failing and you keep falling short, and you say, Lord, I hope you suffer with me for as long as I'm here. Amen. I hope you don't pull back your grace. I hope you don't withdraw your hand. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And I remember in Matthew 28:20, he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Amen. I'm with you always. How long shall I be with you? Always. How long shall I suffer you? Till the end of the world. Now you better say amen and be glad right there, because I'm going to tell you something. It ain't not but the grace of God that's given you the ability to even draw your current breath. And if God were to so choose, he closed his hand, you would stop breathing just like that. That'd be it for you. That'd be it. What if let me tell you something. We got some young people in here. We got some young kids in here. I thank God for that. Young kids in church on a Sunday night. Praise the Lord. I mean, we see them sometimes on Sunday morning. I'm glad to see them on a Sunday night. But can I tell you something? These young'uns here, we ain't got no reason at all to think that these kids are going to have forever. How many times have you heard in the last year something happening? Uh-huh. Something unfortunate. They say, oh man, that's terrible to hear. That's unfortunate. I mean, there's a 16-year-old down there right now who just had a motorcycle accident. Run into the back end of his daddy on a four-wheeler. And now he's laying there with his skull took off to relieve the pressure on his head. Hanging on to life. Don't even know what the results might be. You remember what I told you this morning? He is a God of deliverance. One way or another. One way or another. Whether he goes or whether he stays, I hope and pray he can say, I'm a winner either way. I hope so. You know, a lot of young people, they don't think anything about the future or eternity because they think, I've got a lot of time left. You don't know what you got. I ain't trying to hope, put nothing sad or anything unfortunate on nobody, and I hope you don't believe in jinxes and becks and all that junk. I hope you don't believe that stuff. I believe in the will of God. But there ain't nothing stopping somebody from pulling out here on the highway and an 18-wheeler coming through and just tearing that car apart. Ain't nothing stopping some unfortunate choking or some unfortunate something from happening. Ain't nothing stopping it but the grace of God. Amen. I tell young people all the time, I said, don't you make the mistake of thinking you've got forever. What if tonight was your last night? What if you never got a chance after this to step foot back in church again? What if the Lord took you out of here right now? Would you be ready to go? Lord's speaking to your heart right now. Boy, somebody's got their heart beating out of their chest right now, and the Lord's dealing with them saying, yeah, you ain't ready. You ain't ready. If I blew the horn and called your number right now, you wouldn't be ready to go. Boy, I hope by the time this night's over, I hope you fix that. Amen. Amen. Verse 18, Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him and the child was cured from that very hour. You know that's how quick it is? It's just like that. It ain't some long, drawn-out process. Being saved is just as quick as that. I tell people, I say, you get up, you walk down this aisle, you kneel in this altar with me, and in less than 2 minutes you can be saved and not have to ever worry about eternity again. You'd never have to worry about it again. But here he is, the resisting. The Bible says, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you, but you got to submit yourself under the hand of God. That's what the verse says. Submit yourself under the hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Now, that's the only way. That's the only way it's going to happen. Now he says in verse 19, you've got the reverse questioning. First the Lord's questioning disciples, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And now here in 19, the question returns. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? I say this to you. Number one, I want you to notice they took him apart. Why? Because they didn't want nobody knowing what they were fixing to ask. They didn't want nobody seeing their inconsistencies. They didn't want nobody seeing their inabilities. They were still a little bit too concerned about what people thought about them. Amen. Amen. They were a little too concerned about what people would say about them. Y'all don't worry about this youngin'. Everybody's looking at this youngin'. Don't worry about this youngin'. This youngin's just fine. All right, she ain't bothering me, so she ought not be bothering you. Don't worry about her. But I want to tell you something this morning. I'll listen to me tonight. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. You hearing me? It doesn't matter tonight what people think of you. I wouldn't miss out on what God had in store for me because of what somebody thought about me. You think I'm going to miss out on something in glory because I'm worried about what somebody thinks about me. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. People are missing out on eternity. They're missing out on treasure. They're missing out on joy. They're missing out on God's power because they're more worried about what somebody thinks about them. Yes, man, I'm going to tell you, you talk about chapping somebody, getting them upset. I can't stand somebody trying to get in the way of a person trying to get closer to God, and they want the power of God and they want the Spirit of God, and somebody gets in their way and they stop them and say, listen, do you know what you're getting into? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You better not ever let me see you getting in the way of somebody trying to get close to Jesus Christ. I don't care how old or young you are. I'll come along and I'll put a boot right praise the Lord. I'm about tired of this old backslidden junk. I'm tired of this soft, touchy, soft-spoken garbage. It ain't getting the job done. The old-time preaching, the old-time religion, the old-time power of God came when people didn't hold back because they's worried about what other people thought about them. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I ever see somebody getting in the way of one of these little ones or somebody trying to get close to Jesus, you will be confronted by me if I find out about it. Who do you think you are? You do it and you find out. Amen. Say, that's the first time I've heard him sound like a pastor. Well, thank God. Start praying for me. Amen. That was a good rabbit, wasn't it? Amen. We got him too. Everybody ought to eat good tonight. Why couldn't we do it? That's what they're asking. Why couldn't we do it? He says, first of all, your unbelief. No faith. You ain't got no belief. You don't believe it's even possible. I don't believe it can happen with me. I don't think I have the ability to make this happen. It's not in me to make this happen. Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He said, for as many as received him, to them gave he power. So there ain't nobody holding you back from getting what you need but you. Nobody's holding you back but you. Now listen to me. He says your first problem, no faith. No faith. I just don't believe that I can do it, preacher. I believe what it would take for me to see this through, I don't have that in me. Well, that's the reason it'll never happen, because you don't think you can do it. Can I tell you, this is not a self-help, and this is not a self-promotion. I'm not telling you, you are your best self today. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm not Joel Osteen, and I'm not looking to sell you a book. And you are not your best self today. You'll be your best self when you get over there. Amen. You as bad as you gonna get right now. Amen. Amen. You are not your best self today. And I want to tell you something. Under your own power, you cannot do it. You're going to have to have Him. You're going to have Him. Amen. It's going to take Him. No faith. But then He also told them there in verse 20. He said, Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. 21, howbeit this kind cometh not but by, come on, wake up y'all, and so no faith. I can't do it. I don't have it in me. No prayer. Well, if I can't do it, why pray about it? If it's not in me to do it, why bother God trying to pray that He'd help me to do it if I know I can't do it? Well, Christ in you, the hope of glory, help you to do it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I mean, the Bible says that with all prayer, supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And He said, the very God of peace grant you if you ask it in His name and in His will. Amen. He'll give it to you. I can't do it. I don't have enough faith. That's okay. He got enough faith for all of us. Yeah. Amen. Say, I can't. I ain't going to bother praying about it because it ain't going to happen. So why ask? Because He said for you to. He told you to ask. Remember, I quoted you last Sunday morning. I preached on the power of God, the price of the power of God. And I said, Jeremiah, over there, he said, ask for the old paths. Seek and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way. Yeah. I don't want the old paths. I know you ain't got them. That's why, because you ain't asking for them. Say, Lord, we want that old time religion. We want that old fashioned power of God. We want that old fashioned preaching, and we want that old fashioned praying. We want that old fashioned singing. We want that old fashioned Holy Ghost filling. We want that sanctification, Lord. We want that. We want to set that building aside. I mean, I tell you, if anybody come out here during the week, I want to tell you something. If you ever come out here during the week and you just happen to be messing around in the church, I would ask you to do me a favor. Would you walk by this old desk right here and just maybe put your hand on it for just a second and say, Lord, be with him. Amen, brother. Be with him this week. Get him ready. Because I'll appreciate it. I tell you, I appreciate it. If you ain't never up in this area, but you think on this place, just bow your head for just a second and say, Lord, be with the church. Lord, fill us with the power of God. Fill us with the Spirit of God. Help us desire to want to be where we're supposed to be. Help us to be what we want, what we need to be. But then he said fasting. Okay, here comes the dirty part. Are you ready? I can't put myself down enough to get what I need to get from God. I'm not capable enough to tell myself no. I've got to have what I've got to have. And if it means I don't have the power of God, well, I guess I just don't have the power of God. Because I'm not willing to put me down. How's that fasting? Fasting just means you put yourself down. It has nothing. It doesn't have to be food. Though that's generally the interpretation. Because, let's be honest, the one thing that Baptists can't live without is something to eat. You know, God forbid that somebody goes home tonight and they don't get to sit down and eat a bowl of cereal before they go to bed, you know. Probably wouldn't hurt some of us to go home, drink a bottle of water, praise the Lord for it, and go to bed. Amen. Wake up in the morning, drink you a bottle of water. Now, I'm going to tell you, after what I saw yesterday, me and Patrick had to do a little extra praying when it come to the fasting part, because I couldn't eat too much, and that man ate enough for all of us. I ain't trying to embarrass him, but that man can eat. I thought, well, he's getting his money's worth. Whew. He told me, he said, we're going to go anytime soon. He said, if not, I'm going to keep eating. I was waiting on the manager to come out and say, this is getting ridiculous. Y'all got to go. Hey, I like to eat. I enjoy it. God gave me a mouth, and he gave me teeth, and he gave me a tongue, and gave me a palate. Boy, I like to eat. It's good to eat. But I'll tell you, when it comes to getting something from God, are you willing to put yourself down? You willing to get rid of, put you aside? You know, I tell you, three men, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days. 40 days without food and without without water. 40 days. You know, I know one preacher, I don't know him personally, but I know one preacher done that. I believe it's J. Frank Norris. I don't know if anybody here even knows who that is. Some of y'all maybe have heard his name. J. Frank, I believe that's who it was. Fasted for 40 days. I mean, this man lived he didn't die until just here in the last 30 years. Boy, you talk about, now listen, that's the power of God, man. You talk about, there was a difference in the power of God then and what it is now. There's a difference now. Why? I mean, just 30 years ago, one man put himself down. I ain't saying to go out here and take 40 days. Some of y'all keel over after 4 hours. Some of y'all said, preacher, I've been fasting since lunch. And I don't know how much longer I can get. I mean, I hope I can get a hold of heaven before it does. The sun goes all the way down. Maybe that's the reason y'all wanted a sermonette this evening. Say, preacher, I've been fasting since lunchtime. I just don't know how much longer I'll last. But I tell you, that old man, he fasted 40 days, man. I tell you, the power of God fell on that man's church and him. Old preacher Carl Lackey right over here next to Kannapolis, North Carolina. He preached his church, High Point Baptist Church, and over there in High Point, North Carolina. It's High Point, North Carolina, not Kannapolis, High Point. And he fasted one time 28 days. 28 days. I mean, some people can't do that. I know some people's health won't allow them to do that, and I understand that, and God understands that. But there's more ways to fast than just denying yourself nourishment. There's a lot more ways. But the whole point of it is this. We want the power of God. You got to understand that you alone can't do it. You're going to have Him. And number two, if you want it, you're going to have to ask Him for it. Number three, you're going to have to be willing to put yourself down and say, no, I ain't going to get what I want. I'm going to let Him have what He wants. Regardless of what it might cost me, I'm going to let Him have what He wants. Yes, amen. Amen. That's right. Faith, fasting, and prayer. How you get the power of God. That's how we're going to get it. Listen, these souls that are around us, even now, that don't know whether they're saved or not, are sitting here right now, and God's fixing to open the door of opportunity, and they're going to get a chance to come up here and receive Jesus Christ if they will. But you know what they're going to have behind them? A bunch of Christians that have got some faith, and they're talking to God because they believe God can do it, and they're willing to deny themselves if it meant that soul getting eternity straightened out for them the way they're supposed to. Why ain't we seeing people saved as much as we'd like? A lot of it's because we ain't willing to put ourselves down like we ought to. I mean, we want revival, but we ain't willing to do what we need to get revival. We want the power of God, but boy, we ain't willing to do what we need to get the power of God. I meant what I said a minute ago. I love everybody in here. I love you with all my heart. But if I ever find out somebody stepping in the way of someone trying to get closer to Jesus Christ, I swear to you, I will come and find you. And we will have a come to Jesus meeting. And you may leave after I get done. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord said that it was better that a man have a millstone tied around his neck and he cast into the sea than to offend one of the little ones that was trying to get to Jesus. So if somebody's getting in the way of somebody trying to get to Jesus, you messing with, don't you just worry about me. You better worry about God, because He gets you and fix you better than I can. But I'm telling you, this old soft, touchy stuff, it ain't getting the job done. It's time to buckle down. Put the nose to the grind. Say, preacher, you fixing to get meaner? Not if you keep praying. Amen. You keep praying, the preacher will just get some power about him, and his meanness will turn to godliness. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all better start praying now. I see you. I know. I seen you. Say, we better start praying now. Here in just a second, I'm going to have Mindy come up here. She's going to play for just a second on piano. We're going to open up this altar, and we're going to see if anybody wants to make that choice. Come up here and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe somebody in here tonight needs to. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what might be going on right now, but I believe you need to. And if you need to, we're going to give you that opportunity. And we're going to get you an opportunity to come up here and get that thing settled. But you know what's going to have to happen? Christians, you're going to have to be praying. I hope you done been. I hope that Holy Spirit of God spoken to your heart and let you know that you need to start praying. There's somebody here tonight needs Jesus. And they ain't going to get Him if we don't have the power of God. And they ain't going to get Him. They're going to miss out if we ain't willing to put ourselves down. Amen. That's right. Jesus demonstrated His power up on that mountain, and it was an example for us to follow, that the same power can be given to us if we'll just submit. Resist the devil, he'll flee, and the Holy Ghost of God can step in and do a work that nobody else could have done had He not had the full control and we got ourselves out the way. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Mindy, come on.